This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's go, North America. That's right. The Entertainer is here. It's Bogish. It's me, Mraz. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Good morning. It's Friday. As July finishes up, this would normally be MLB trade deadline day, but we're only about, what, a week into the season? Instead, we have a full weekend of NBA basketball's restart, the Stanley Cup playoffs starting in a different format now with the qualifying round, and of course, Major League Baseball in full swing. Sports are back, plenty of PGA Tour as well. NASCAR still rolling along. The MLS is back, tournament still cooking. I'm into it, Bogues. I am into it. Sports are here. Flipping around the TV again last night. We're getting MLB games on Fox on Thursday nights. We're getting the NBA on TNT. We're getting freaking five or six hockey games tomorrow. I can't get enough. This is like sending me into the Hershey Park. I just can't stop eating everywhere I turn. I'm chowing down on sports. Woo, Bogey, woo.
Yeah, and like I said last night, I was at a practice, or as I said yesterday morning, I was at a practice last night navigating all of these games again. Like, we were down the block having an outdoor little meet and greet with friends just to get the kids some fresh air. So I was out of the house for a little bit. I came back, and it was still grossly hot and humid here in the New York area yesterday. So I was just like tacks, and I sat down on the couch and put on Pels and Jazz, and was like, oh, there's a Mets game. Oh, there's a soccer game. Oh, there's a hockey game somewhere, right? And like, I didn't have the strength to get the second TV going, so I was jumping back and forth on just one remote. But like in a commercial break, I found myself like, dude, change the channel. There's something else on. So right. Like I am the Zion, I guess, of channel changing. I only had a good 15 minutes in me last night and then pulled the cord and gave up.
Yeah, and I'm sure that I would say probably by the time the Rockets and Mavs play later tonight, because I'm going to be fully engulfed in everything again today, I am going to be the biggest pig just wafting up all the sports I can, because I'm sorry, I went 4 months without him, and my wife knows this. You had your TV time with me. Like, that's it. I mean, like, do what you got to do. She was like, oh, can I see my cousin tonight? Or, you know, can she stop by and see the baby? Do what you got to do. I got Yankees, Red Sox. I got Celtics, Bucks. I'm good. Like, I am good. I got the Nets at 2:30.
Do what you got to do.
Taylor's big debut starting at 2:30. I'm trying to fit in when I can even cut the lawn. So I am just – I give it to me. Even last night, they finally started doing a lot of, you know, religious services and such. My buddy's daughter made her communion finally, which was supposed to be, you know, 4 months ago. And he said, hey, you know, if you want to stop by in our yard, we're just going to order a couple pizzas, that kind of deal. And I said, look, I'll stop by for an hour or something like that. But – A, if you don't have a TV in the yard for Pels Jazz, I'm out. I got work to do. And B, I'm out after an hour anyway because I'm still going to go home and watch all these sports. So I'm even – honestly, you want to have the best way to have people socially distanced and not want to be with each other? Just throw the sports on. I don't need to make plans with anybody. Like, now's the time I want to quarantine and sit on my ass and do nothing. It was when I had no sports on that it was like, what do I do for these months? I got nothing to watch. If you tell me now for the next 3 months, hey, all these sports are on, but you got to stay inside, I'm good. I'm here. That's fine. I'll keep ordering my Uber Eats. Away we go. Maybe Mikey B will take it to me from the Zach Elb show. It doesn't matter. I could quarantine if I'm going to sit there and just watch sports pillar to post because that's how I'm built. And I bet you a lot of sports fans are. So, Bogish, I'm excited. I'm ready for this weekend. I know you're ready for the hockey as well, which will be a fantastic run starting. I saw Zach Elb had Dan Quinn on, the coach of the New York Rangers. He still won't comment on their goalie situation, where it'll be Igor Shesterkin, Henrik Lundqvist. So if you're into hockey, plenty to get into starting at noon tomorrow. I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. Now, we do have to talk more NBA, and obviously after we saw the games last night, I keep doing this, and I'm sure it's probably annoyed the heck out of so many listeners, especially in New Orleans, but I did get plenty of tweets last night of people supporting me on this, saying, here we go with the Zion force feeding, and Zion Williamson, obviously somebody who the NBA has highlighted as their next superstar, who they want to put on TV as much as possible. And we talked at the top of the show that if they're in there, the bubble, the Pelicans, to try to make a run, basically 3.5 games out to kickstart that 9-8 play-in tournament, I don't care how he was gone for 4 days doing jumping jacks in his hotel room. He's got to play for more than 15 minutes. Or as you pointed out, make the 15 minutes count and don't have them all wrapped up by midway through the fourth quarter, which I think was an excellent point. But on that Zion Williamson note, I do think there's a broader conversation to be had. And again, we will take your tweets on this at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish. And remember, it is a Target Demo Friday there as well. And your calls at 855-212-4227 should Pete decide to take his hands out of the granola bag and pick them up. We'll see. I don't know. We might lay off Pete here today.
Remember those 2 days where he actually did answer a call or two just to kind of show off after we originally called him out on it? And now we're back to people just getting ring and ring and ring and ring and ring.
Hey, why don't you clowns and come here?
I love
there it is.
Pete, but that was what I was going to say. That was the predictable answer. Pete has been a warrior in this studio here. I really do say that. I'm not trying to pat Pete on the back too much. He has done an unbelievable job. But nonetheless, he's still Pete, and this is what we do. We make fun of each other. So that's it. So we're going to make fun of Pete there. But on your thoughts on Zion Williamson, the NBA has gone above and beyond to make sure Zion is in our laps on TV. Heck, when the original NBA schedule came out, before pandemic and we thought life was going to be normal, the Pelicans were in that first game at Toronto. The Pelicans were going to be playing on Christmas. The Pelicans, a team that hadn't made the playoffs, were going to be in all these premier national TV spots. And then Zion obviously got hurt, and we saw a lot of Pelicans on national TV without Zion, which ain't that fun. And then eventually we got him. Last night was just the 20th game that Zion Williamson has played in the NBA, Pokish, which is incredible, and a lot of that, obviously, we feel like maybe because we got a good run out of him and it was becoming fun before shutdown, and then seeing him again last night for 15 minutes. He's a baby. He's a baby, as Pete would say. But I'm a baby. He's a baby in the NBA. He is a lot of fun to watch. But as far as on a talent level goes, we have been fortunate enough, Bogish, in our age demographic of you being 40, me being 33, of, okay, we saw As kids, the MJ era, Scottie Pippen, Reggie Miller, Hakeem, those kind of guys, Ewing. And then we went through this era of Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade. I mean, the list goes on and on. And when you start, you know, making, if you were to make today a new list of the top 50 players of the NBA, many of which will end up being guys that we have been fortunate enough to see. And I really think that's a blessing as an NBA fan. When I watch Zion Williamson play now 20 games into his NBA career, and I watch the hype train that the NBA has built around him is trying to push this guy forward as we usher out LeBron, who should have been mentioned as well, who would have a thing or two to say about being ushered out, but not really. He still has a couple of years to go. And by the way, Steph Curry is another one of these guys. I don't know. I watch Zion Williamson play, and I wonder, Is his ceiling, like, will he get to the point where that we mention all these other guys where, oh, Zion Williamson, there's no doubt about it. He's a top 50 NBA player of all time. And I know that's a lot to ask for a guy 20 games in, but they're certainly pushing him in front of our face that they expect him to be that kind of guy, although so many of the comparisons are of Sean Kemp's and Larry Johnson's, who, while very good for some stretches in their career, so much electric ability to watch. I know Larry Johnson later transformed himself when he was a Knick, but those guys you wouldn't put in that stratosphere. And you get the Zion Williamson comps to that, but if those are his comps, that doesn't match to the way he's put in front of our faces. Where do you think the ceiling is for Zion Williamson in the NBA, Bogus?
Well, I mean, I've used the Larry Johnson comparison, but that's as much like just visual, seeing him on the court as anything else. I mean, they're both built like squares. Like, I can't believe that they're humans, the way, like, the width from, like, shoulder to shoulder and then straight down and then front to back. Like, people aren't supposed to be built like that and then do what they want to do. I refuse to get into Hall of Fame top 50 of all time, but Zion Williamson's going to be an elite NBA player for the entirety of his NBA career. Top 5, top 10 at worst, how you want to line him up in the next couple of years alongside, you know, Giannis and Trae Young and Jason Tatum and then some of the older guys who are not close to being done yet, like Steph Curry, who you've already mentioned. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go in that list, but he's going to belong on that group. I mean, I don't think, and I understand feeling like the NBA is overselling him. I mean, and there is no two ways about the fact that this bubble is configured to specifically get him in. I mean, if he was already in and the Pelicans were in the top 8, we very well might just be starting, especially if the, you know, the space between 8 and 9 was legitimate enough to really make it happen. We could be like the NHL where we're just starting with the postseason, or maybe like the NHL, there's an extra round for those, you know, seeds 9 and 10, whatever it may be. But because they were so mathematically far back, they had to reconfigure this. Now we have these 6 extra Western Conference teams. I mean, that has always been something the NBA should be called out on. It should always be mentioned that this was set up to get him in. But like, he shy of this, which is, seems over, you know, over an overstretch, everything else to me is warranted. I mean, the guy didn't start the season because he had knee surgery, came back, as you say, he's only played 20 games, but in those 20 games, he's averaged 23 points and 6 rebounds, shooting about 60% from the field. Last night, he threw a behind-the-back pass going down the lane. I mean, the guy is a monster, and he's answered already, to me at least, all the questions we had about him existing physically in the NBA, because night in and night out, he wouldn't be facing college basketball opponents. Now he's facing men, and he's drilling these men in the chest and knocking them down, and very few of these guys have been able to actually keep up with him physically. So all the primetime games, all the scheduling games, all the promos, all the merchandise, to me, all of that is warranted because he is an outright stud.
But here's the thing. You could talk about him belonging in the top 5, top 10 during his entire era of his career, and obviously he should with that much hype and all of that. They have absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, and I'm talking about NBA marketing, NBA hype machine, they have put him in the category of, we went from Jordan to Kobe to LeBron to now Zion. That is right, fair, wrong, or indifferent, and I think it is unfair to him. That is basically the picture that has been painted here for Zion, is that we have gone from these eras that the NBA loves to sing of, the face of an era, right? And you could have all these other good players around, and we've seen plenty, as we mentioned, Curry, Duncan, Dirk, the list goes on. Wade. But it does seem like they are trying to make that train of connection. It went from Jordan, we passed the torch to Kobe, we passed the torch to LeBron, we're passing the torch to Zion. And I, having seen, at least towards the end of Jordan, all of Kobe, all of LeBron, I know they're all different types of players, and really Zion's more LeBron as far as the physical stud than Kobe or Jordan was. I watch Zion, and I don't think it's fair to him. I don't think that Zion Williamson, as great as he has the potential to be and as fun as he is to watch, will ever be able to live up to that level of guy the way the NBA, I think, is pushing him to be.
Which isn't always necessarily a knock on him. I mean, one of the amazing things about LeBron is that he has somehow exceeded expectations, which were astronomically high when he was in high school. I mean, as much as you want to be And, you know, the decision, the TV show is a joke and should always be mentioned alongside him at some point. And then there are definitely, if you want to have a more serious conversation going back to the beginning of this year in the NBA and China and Hong Kong, I mean, there are conversations to be had about LeBron. But all things considered, the guy hasn't even come close to letting us down on and off the court. I mean, he's been, for the most part, a model citizen, and he has been put himself in the conversation being the best player of all time. So, like, most guys can't live up to the hype just because the hype is too big, not because they're not good enough. So, yeah, the NBA might oversell Zion. You might get fed up by Zion, as you appear to be right now, but Zion's going to be a wrecking ball for a long time. Can he play like the way he plays now for a long time? Probably, maybe. It's sure, you know, if he gets banged up, we'll have to change things maybe a little bit, but right. I don't know, like to be pulling back anyway on him right now just to me seems like a waste of time.
It probably is a waste of time, and I'm probably being too harsh on him, and I enjoy watching him play, and I don't think it's fair to him to even really be having this conversation. I think this is the NBA's doing, and maybe that's why he's kind of my target here, because look, if it was the Nets, my favorite team drafting number one overall, I'd be head over heels that we have Zion Williamson right now, and I'd probably be saying, no, absolutely, he's the next LeBron. So part of this, I have to be as transparent as possible, and I'm not rooting for him to fail. I just, having lived through such a golden era of all of these stars, I mean, if Zion Williamson ends up being more Sean Kemp, it's going to now be a disappointment. It is. And he probably won't be. He'll probably be better than that. And I'll probably be playing back these tapes that Cap pulled 10 years from now going, what an idiot I was. But I don't think that Zion Williamson's hype will ever be able to match what he ends up doing in the NBA, even if he does great things in the NBA. So it's kind of a slight and kind of a negative, but he could still have a great career, and it still just not live up to what we've been built here. And I think the NBA continues to do that, where the NBA doesn't have to do that right now for Zion Williamson. We didn't have to have Zion Williamson in this bubble, but they are going above and beyond making sure they do that, almost as if the league's desperate for superstardom. They don't have to be. They have so many of them. So, look, I hope Zion continues to prevail, and I hope Zion proves me wrong, because I think the league will be better for it, and I think us as viewers will be better for it. The more superstars you could watch, the better.
So two things I would add to that. Let's not forget as well that the Warriors have been null and void this year. Without Steph Curry, without Klay Thompson, and neither one of those, you know, were surprises. So like that might have, you know, that might change the dynamic along the way here. You know, if they're fully healthy, if they're the Warriors, maybe they're getting featured more than they normally would. But I mean, really, like the sins, quote unquote, we're talking about right now are an opening night assignment for Zion to begin the season, and then what we got last night. And really, those to me are not bad decisions. Now, the first one backfired because he got hurt, and then this one to a certain extent changed because of whatever brought him outside the bubble. The real, you know, the thing that bothers me is configuring things to get him in. Like, didn't that seem like a stretch? But the TV assignments, I mean, this is a guy who was, you know, the most ballyhooed college player in a long time. Of course they're going to put his first game on TNT on the opening night of the NBA season. I mean, that all of us would have done that. You don't need to. You can sell me on Giannis or Tatum or those Warriors at full strength or the Raptors at another time. But like, you know, the NBA also knows what those guys are. They have the numbers about how Trae Young or Jason Tatum or Giannis play nationally. So, you know, those guys are superstars. Those guys are, you know, arguably better players. Some of them are than Zion right now. But maybe the NBA knows what they are business-wise. So I wouldn't say that they're desperate, but maybe they know that Zion's got a chance, clearly, to zoom past all of those guys and sell more jerseys and sell more NBA TV subscriptions. So to put him on TV these two times nationally, to me, is not that big of a deal. And plus, the universe did him disservice both times by taking him out altogether once and then compromising him last night. Because if he scored 35 last night and had 18 boards in a dramatic Pelicans win to kick this all off, we could say, we'd be saying nothing like this right now.
I think you're absolutely correct. And I think the moment you use the word ballyhooed, I think you have actually maybe won an argument and I need to back off, because the moment I use ballyhooed in my life outside of responding to using ballyhooed will be the first time. Now, you really want to, you want to throw Pete off here for a second, Bogish? Yes.
I'm waiting.
Okay. Next weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west for the season's first major. Will Brooks Koepka take home his third consecutive Wanamaker trophy, or will someone else step up to their place in history? The PGA Championship is live August 8th and 9th on CBS. So Pete didn't tell me to do that read yet. It was a little ahead in this hour, and I was hoping I'd catch Pete, not be able to have that CBS drop ready, Bogish. But look, Pete is sitting there. He's itchy. He's got the fingers ready to go. All right, when we come back, we have another Bogish update, plus your latest, your best audio of the day. We have John Harbaugh finally talking about, not finally, a day later, talking about the Antonio Brown love fest from Lamar Jackson. Also, there is a host within our Entercom family, Bogish, that has gotten news about us all potentially being on Twitch and has no idea what it is. It's coming up next. It's Soundcheck on the DA Show.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Well, Bogish, we started off with a little response. Lamar Jackson endorsed Antonio Brown being signed, and we talked about this yesterday. Does Lamar Jackson die on the wrong hill here? Is he throwing his front office under the bus? Well, head coach John Harbaugh, as we had to predict, was going to get asked about this. Here comes more from the distraction. What did John Harbaugh have to say?
Hey, I respect him for feeling that way. Respect his opinion on it. Definitely appreciate hearing how that workout went, whenever it was. I mean, it was a long time ago now. But any players, we'll look at any and every player at all times. So, you know, Antonio Brown's no exception. Decisions will be made based on whatever they're made. And I don't think he's really available to even sign right now. So it's not really a conversation that you have. Until he's available to sign. Maybe I'm wrong about that. That's something that I'll have to ask Eric about, where that stands with the league and the player, but that's where we stand on it.
Translation, I don't even know if Antonio Brown is legally allowed to be signed because we haven't even thought about it. Therefore, we've already told Lamar to shut up and let us handle the roster. Bogus, your thoughts.
Well, I think this is the diplomatic thing for John Harbaugh to say, right? I mean, he can't come out here and crush Lamar Jackson. I wonder if he's asked Lamar to maybe lay off this a little bit. So, I mean, this is the cut-and-paste kind of coach response here, with the caveat of what we've been saying all along, is that who knows if Antonio Brown can even be on anybody's roster, which is actually the one bit of information that he probably deserves to know at this point from the NFL. But you know, I don't think this is a big issue. I don't think that it's a bigger concern for the way Lamar Jackson's going to handle business, all things, you know, day in and day out, so to speak, and year over year in Baltimore. But, I mean, if I was John Harbaugh, I'd probably have a personal conversation just asking him to leave Antonio Brown for the time being. We know how you feel about him, but we're okay now, so let's just keep it quiet and keep it amongst ourselves, and I'll give you an update if anything on our end changes in relation to Brown. And then we have Jamal Adams, Shawnee, who is no longer with us here in New York, now all the way across the country, a member of the Seahawks, but still doesn't have that extension that he wanted from Gangrene. The Seahawks apparently told him they'll discuss that after this season. So Adams, of course, has to play the good soldier right now and says he wants to be in Seattle forever.
This is my calling, man. I'm here to stay, and I'm excited to be a Seattle Seahawk, like I said, and I'm really overwhelmed, but at the same time, man, it's so surreal. To be around a great organization like Seattle, and to be coached by legendary coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, playing with Hall of Famers. I'm just excited to be here. I'm here to help, and you know, I can't wait to get out there in front of the 12s, man. The plan is to retire here. You know what I mean? That is my plan. But obviously, you know, those things handle themselves. When all you have to do is just go on the field and perform, do the right things on and off the field. And those things will take care of itself.
Get him out.
Let me tell you right now, Bogus. There's so much talk, right? Me and you could be suckers sometimes for some really bad TV shows, right? Some reality shows. And an often thing thrown around some of these reality shows, she's so fake, he's so fake. Jamal Adams is fake. He's a fraud. He's a completely fake persona. The idea that he comes out and has to overcompensate for the fans in Seattle and say this is his calling, what the heck are you talking about? Just how many months ago, 9 months ago, you were trying to force a trade to the Dallas Cowboys, to Texas where you're from, to go play for the Dallas Cowboys. So while you were forcing that trade to Dallas or trying to force it, it never happened. You mean to tell me in the back of your mind going to Seattle was your calling? You're a fake dude, Jamal. That's it, man. You're a fake dude. You didn't want to play for the Jets for a variety of reasons, and maybe Adam Gase was at the top of that list. But let's face it, you don't. You're the kind of guy that when your team is winning, you're the perfect addition to a winning team. But if the team stinks and you need to turn to leadership and to a superstar to try to lead a team out of being bad, Jamal Adams is the last guy you want on your team. Jamal Adams is a fake dude, Bogues.
I normally like when guys say something other than throwaway pointless lines, but it might be time for Jamal Adams just to rein things in just a little bit here. Like, just give me nothing for a while. Don't oversell me on your excitement, how you want to be here. Talk about the 12s, that's fine. Say you love Pete Carroll, but let's just ease our way into this. And if you can, just like maybe take yourself out of the headlines for a little bit, because it's just fraud, fake, that I don't know, but it's just a lot. It's just a lot that I need a contract. Adam Gase sucks. The video of when somebody asked about coming to the Cowboys, he's like, I'm trying, and now this. Like, it's just a lot. So I just need a Jamal Adams break for a little bit. And we can go back to talking about him as actually being an elite safety and not all of this yapping off the field.
Get him out.
Yeah, and look, Seahawk fans are some of the smartest fans in football, the great fans, how loud that crowd gets. They should be excited because Jamal Adams is a good football player. They should be excited that their defense is getting better. They should be excited that they're a Super Bowl contender. But if you buy for a second, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, the nonsense that Jamal Adams just spewed out of his mouth at you, that this is his calling and he wants to retire in Seattle, you are just as big a fool as him. Jamal Adams, the ultimate fake guy. All right, Joe and Evan, New York City's WFAN, our affiliate here on CBS Sports Radio. In case you didn't know, we are now on Twitch if you search CBS Sports Radio. I think it's an awesome movement the company's having. We're trying to be like Zeke Elliott where we just faded on Twitch playing video games. You can watch the shows on Twitch. So most shows, I think, throughout the company, they're going to eventually want to get here on the Twitch platform. If you don't know Joe Beninga, we've played some of his clips before. He's a guy in his 60s, the ultimate negative guys we played earlier. Hates all his teams. But if you think he knows technology, he's the kind of guy you have to wake up in the morning and let him know what happened in a West Coast game because there's no chance he has Twitter. So do you think he knows what Twitch is? His partner Evan Roberts had to tell him they would be on Twitch soon. Here's a listen from WFAN.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and Ernie can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think at some point soon, I'm not sure when, they're going to like Twitch us. You know what I mean?
What do you mean Twitch?
Oh boy, here we go.
What the heck does Twitch mean?
I think we're going to be on video.
Twitching me. What?
I think we're going to be on video.
What do you mean?
We're going to be on video, like on, so people could see us do the show, even from our homes.
Well, how is that happening? when is that brilliant?
I don't know.
Happen?
I don't know when it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen at some point.
Why do you say that?
That's what I thought. That's what I was under the impression.
And do we get paid extra for being twitched?
Joe, ask that question.
Hold on. When you say we're going to be on video now, I mean, I don't understand what that means. So now, oh my God.
Would you wear the same thing? You should. Yeah. Who cares?
I don't. I'm going to.
Are you kidding me?
So if you've ever gotten your grandmother an iPad for Christmas and then had to spend an hour before dinner teaching her how it works, that's basically what Evan Roberts has to do with Joe as technology evolves within the company. How does video work from your home? Does Joe have a laptop with that little camera that I'm staring at right now? How does it work from a home? Could you imagine teaching him these things, Bogus?
No. In fact, if I was in any way involved with that show, like Ernie Acosta, who runs it from afar at the moment, this might be the time where I try to find something else to do, because I love Joe, but this has, I mean, unless it is as simple as can be, but even that might be a battle for Joe. So this might be the time where I pull the ripcord and get out of there before I have to get Joe into like a gamer chair with an Xbox controller with Evan on Twitch.
Joe's the kind of guy, like, if he's on your family plan at your local cell phone provider, you have to go in and explain how many flip phones do you have left. This is what I need for grandpa. That's basically it. We love Joe, but the idea, how are we doing video from home? What does that work? I can understand not even knowing what Twitch is, because before a year ago, I really didn't know what it is. And I'm 33, so I'm probably above the age of our normal Twitch audience. But look, man, younger people love Twitch, so I can't believe I'm saying that, 33 years. So if that's what we're going to be on, I think that's awesome. I think keeping up with the times to keep the younger audience is awesome, but the idea that you don't know how video is going to work.
Wi-Fi.
I mean, all I know about it is that people, like, play video games and you watch them play their video game, which seems like a really strange way to spend your time, but a lot of people do it, which means a lot of people are making money by playing video games on Twitch. I'm not sure, and I'm a little nervous if we're gonna have to do things differently because we're on Twitch. I know we're not getting paid more like Joe was wondering. So, and I, you know, I'm confused in term knowing what I know about it, how we're on it, but like I can handle whatever is thrown at me, if anything is thrown at me technologically to get us all on Twitch. Unlike Joe, who is just, you just want to hug him and like give him a kiss on the forehead and tell him it's going to be okay. Just like go back to sleep. I'll wake you up when we're there.
And that is your sound check. Unfreaking believable. All right, Bogus, what do we got for our latest update?
Oh, that's right. We've got updates too. At least on opening night at Disney World, we did not get glorified scrimmages. The Lakers and Clippers went down to the wire in the nightcap.
Bron's got it just inside half court. Game tied at 101. 10 seconds to shoot. LeBron, runner in the lane, no good. Got his own rebound and scores. It's 103-101 Lakers, timeout Clippers.
That is John Ireland on Lakers radio. LeBron's defense then helped the Lakers seal a 103-101 win. They are now 6.5 games clear of those Clippers for number one in the West with just 7 to play. That was all, after the Jazz fought off the Pelicans 106-104. Zion Williamson did play, but just 15 minutes and none of the last 7 in this tight game. He scored 13 points in those 15 minutes. 6 more games today. Nets and Magic first at 2:30 Eastern. The Bucks will not have Eric Gordon or Pat Connaughton against the Celtics at 6:30. Both are still getting back into shape after missing some time following positive COVID tests. Baseball last night, the Dodgers pushed their win streak to 3-6-3 in Arizona. Joe Kelly pitched a perfect 7th as he continues to appeal his suspension for almost starting that benches clearing brawl in Houston. The Padres outscored the Giants 12-7-10, Seattle an 8-5 win in Anaheim, and Aaron Judge and the Yankees beat the Orioles again.
Saucer deals, swing, a drive, deep to left. Oh, you can put this one away. Adios, amigo, Aaron Judge with his second home run of the year. A bomb to left field.
That is Ricky Ricardo on Yankees radio. John Sterling has been under the weather the last couple of days.
So Aaron Judge
filling in. The Yankees won the game.
Bogus, I was going to say, the last time the Orioles beat the Yankees, I might have been in diapers. I think that's, 19 straight, something like, more than that, right?
It's 18 straight wins overall. It is 17 in a row in Baltimore.
Oh, the last time, by the way, the Orioles beat the Yankees, the winning pitcher was Zach Britton, who's now a Yankee. That's how long it's been for the Orioles since they last beat the Yankees.
You weren't a dad, right?
I was not a dad. No.
Yeah, it was the beginning of last season.
Oh, no, it was 2018. Not even. They swept them last year.
I think they swept every single game last year. I thought they won, the Orioles won the first game last year and then not again the rest of the year.
Oh, maybe it's the last time they won a game in yards, but the stat I heard yesterday was the last time the Orioles had beaten the Yankees, Zach Britton was the winning pitcher for the Orioles. So maybe that's at Camden Yards. Maybe I should double-check that. But if that's the case, yeah, that's a long time ago. That's a lot of slices of pizza ago for me. I couldn't even tell you my weight, but I can tell you I was still doing a really crummy job producing the show at that time. But that was the last time the Orioles beat the Yankees.
8-6 was the final there last night. The latest then from the Phillies and the Marlins, another positive player test in Miami, and the Phillies have a positive coach and one home clubhouse attendant. They are now off the field until the beginning of next week at the soonest. The Jays, who were supposed to play in Philadelphia this weekend, were playing in D.C. They are staying there until they get directions from MLB. It looks like the ACC wanted the SEC to follow its lead and create an 11-game football schedule with one slot for non-conference games to keep up the many rivalries between the two conferences, but the SEC is staying home, just 10 conference games only, and they will not start until September 26th. The reason for that, they want to give schools time to adjust to all student return to campus and possibly causing COVID outbreaks. The NCAA will let players wear patches on their jerseys honoring a cause they support. There can be a small patch on the front of jerseys, and or players can replace their last name on the back with something commemorating their cause. The Philadelphia Union dropped Sporting KC last night 3-1. They're the first team into the MLS's back semifinals. And Brooks Koepka started the St. Jude Invitational in Memphis with an 8-under-62. He has a one-shot lead on Ricky Fowler. Sean, back to you.
Bogus, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. And on top, Bogus, remember, it's a Target Demo Friday. Kaplan has your graphic up, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio, at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogus. It's me as a Canadian Mountie with the Stanley Cup behind me promoting Canadian bacon. That's right, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. And we will have them on Monday morning. Plenty of coverage on the Stanley Cup playoffs, including my new Canadian bacon segment. I'm excited for that. So go tweet us, Facebook us, even Twitch us, as we just joked about. We had some of those last week, Red. CBS Sports Radio there. What are you doing this weekend? What do you got cooking? What sports are you into? What's on tap? It's your Target Demo Friday. We want to let you know how you're listening, what you're listening to, all of that. Bring it all to the table. Also, it's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Get that Ask the Pros question on in. When we come back, this date in mothership history. Boy, it's been a week of Mraz bingo. What's next on that card? We discuss next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Come on. Come on. Step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Bogus, as I just mentioned, it was Mraz bingo this week on the TA Show. What comes next up on the board? Oh, 3 years ago yesterday I did the deed. 3 years ago today we discussed it. I accidentally ate my dog's dropping off the floor. It's this date in mothership history.
Mraz tweeted yesterday, quote, newest low point of my life. I ate what I thought was a chocolate chip off of my living room floor. Turns out it's a dropped dingleberry off of my dog. Mraz, I'm so ashamed. I don't know how we can move on. And I honestly wonder if this is not a fireable offense by the suits at CBS. I mean, this is a terrible decision, not only to do it, but also to admit it.
Well, it was me trying to be heroic to save my dog because dogs are allergic to chocolate. I had been eating a chocolate chip granola bar to start the day, and I let my dog out. When I let him back in, I noticed he ran past me, and then he ran back, and I thought I had dropped the chocolate chip on the ground, so I rushed to pick it up and pop it in my mouth to save the dog from instant death from eating chocolate, instead only to realize that taste was not the chocolate. It was a long morning for me. I had to admit it because I also acknowledge that as stupid as it is something that could only happen to me, and I have no problem taking the punishment that comes with it, but it was a heroic effort by me.
It was shaped as a little chocolate chip?
I would say the shape was there. It was first glance. It was very small. It was early in the morning. It was a chocolate chip, but it wasn't.
What did this taste like?
Not a chocolate chip. That's the best way to put it. Tasted like what you'd think something like that would taste like. And immediately I woke my wife up, mouthwash, the whole deal.
Did you swallow?
Yes. Even the dessert coordinator doesn't know what to do with that.
You swallowed. You knew what it tasted like and you swallowed.
No, because it was just a quick, like, it wasn't like you don't chew a chocolate chip. I just popped it in the whole mouth and it went down. So it wasn't like I chewed and then swallowed, you know?
Did you have any stomach irritation after that?
No, I mouthwashed about 17 times, brushed my teeth multiple times, drank 2 bottles of water, and got on with my day.
I have stomach irritation, and I've only listened to the last 60 seconds of this story.
So you didn't get a stomachache?
No, I didn't. But I've eaten more garbage than anybody can count. So anything I put in my body is never going to make a difference at this point anyway. And luckily, it was small. You know what I mean? It was a chocolate chip size.
So it tasted like a dog chip.
Tasted like what? We don't know what they taste. I do know what they taste like now, and it tastes like what you'd think it would taste like. The life of me. A dog chip.
A dog marble.
Nom, 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 nom. Happy Friday, Bogish. It should be noted I was eating a chocolate chip granola bar near the doorway when I looked down and noticed this and thought it fell off the granola bar. And it's because, for those who aren't dog owners who don't know, dogs cannot eat chocolate. Chocolate is a toxic poison for dogs. So let this just be a PSA, Bogus, to everybody out there. If you're going into a Costco or a supermarket fighting people about wearing a mask, just understand that somewhere out on Long Island 3 years ago, there was somebody who would do anything to save a life, even of a pet, that he popped a piece of dog poo in his mouth, and that would be me. So, yes, if I could do that, you could wear a mask, and that's how I'll tie together 2017 to 2020, Bogish. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, not surprisingly, but also at the same time appalling that you continue to present yourself as a hero in this scenario where there are, as per usual, a number of missteps that you made that were completely avoidable. The first of which is the fact that you didn't have to eat what you thought was a chocolate chip off the floor to save your dog. You could have, at the very least, taken a sniff before putting it in your mouth just to, you know, give yourself one barrier of protection. But I would think even more so than that, you could have just thrown it away. You didn't have to eat it. That was your punishment for just indiscriminately picking something up off the floor that you thought was a chocolate chip and you ate it. Now, I would also add, and I am not a dog owner, so I don't know this 100%, but I believe that a chocolate chip would not have harmed your dog, that it takes a lot of chocolate to make dogs sick. So I don't know that you actually did save the dog from anything by doing this. So I don't want you to say that you're a hero. And in general, I also remain so surprised that you're so willing and proud to share these things. I mean, just recently, you love the fact that you had an accident while you were taping the PGP. Most people would not have let that be known by anybody outside those who were there in the moment, but you giddily brought me on. We rehashed it moments later on side B. You've tweeted it, you reference it, you bring it up as if it's something that you should be proud of. So again, man, you're not a hero.
B.
And like Jamal Adams, just rein it in a little bit, maybe. I don't know. Take a month off.
Again, I wasn't happy with that, and all I'm saying is this. Out there, you see so many of these dog adoption commercials, Sarah McLachlan singing, just know I will do anything to save a dog's life. And that was my dog, Jay, who, by the way, I didn't know at the time was probably undergoing some sort of kidney failure. So I probably did save his life from that little bit of chocolate, even extended it for another year or so. So, yes, I am a hero when it comes to dogs. If I could eat dog poo to save a dog, you could
Poopy.
Wear a mask. That's the way I'd tie 2017 to 2020. Now, real quickly, Joseph is in Houston on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to Pete for answering the phone. Joseph, you're on the DA show. What's going on?
Hey, man, just out here working, you know, trying to make a living for my family and my new baby that I just had.
Congrats, Joseph. Congrats. Do not feed it a dog dropping.
No, I won't, man. I was just laughing so hard. I remember when you did that, and I am still reliving that moment and nauseous a little bit. I actually called to talk about Zion. It's so great to have sports facts. But I understand they're trying to save him. They don't want him to get injured. But why not utilize that time, at least play him when those moments, like you said, he didn't play for the last 7 minutes. Why not use that 15 minutes and break it down to where he's going to play in those moments that are going to determine the outcome of the game? They're three games behind. If you're going to make him the face of the NBA, let the guy loose a little bit. And show us what he's made of. If they're going to make him sound like he's the next generation of basketball superstar, then we got to see it. We got to see those moments, you know, when you're held to the gun and you got to perform and you don't. Those are the defining moments that make or break somebody. I don't know how they see it any other way.
Joseph, thanks for the call and congrats on the baby. Yeah, Bogus alluded to that in the open, and I had a big problem with it only being 15 minutes, that this guy should be in pristine shape and he should go out there, and the whole reason you're here is to try to win all 8 games to get yourself in there. But Bogus, you brought it up, and I think you made a good point. Where Alvin Gentry really dropped the ball is if 15 minutes was the number, you don't have those 15 minutes eclipsed halfway through the fourth quarter.
Right, and you know, 15 minutes is a little more than a quarter, and I was just sitting here again kind of going over like how you could have better used those minutes, but you just, in some form or fashion, you need to almost work backwards, right? Like, say I want him on the floor for the final 6 minutes of this game, so then where do I put the other 9 minutes to get him out on the floor, get him worked up, get him in a sweat, let him have an impact early, but saving those minutes in my back pocket so he's out there when the game is on the line. Now, and obviously you can't start the game knowing what's going to happen, but you should be prepared to find yourself in a close game when you're going to want him on the floor. So that to me is where, you know, Alvin Gentry and Pelicans doctors, whoever else was in on this decision, didn't do a good enough job last night. You can't, with 7:20 left on the clock, take him out of the game and just go, well, that's it. We'll see what happens if you're fully invested in making the postseason.
When we come back, how is Patrick Mahomes viewed by his peers? Plus, the most egotistical figure in sports, without a doubt, he still won't go away. Who am I talking about? We discuss next. It's the DA Show carrying on this Target Demo Friday on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.